okay, so now you're going to record, and I'm going to talk about my stupid fucking dentist trip today. Like, nothing
That's
exciting.
Not when nearly we were as exciting.
Talking about the dark web.
Some wild shit.
Mike's deleting that.
Okay.
He's just going to cut that out of the beginning. Oh, you're not.
Wow.
Sketchy. Illegal computer things. No. Mike's not doing anything illegal.
The dark web. oh my god.
Funny.
So you went to the dentist today. That's exciting. No.
We're like cracking up. Like, oh, we can't record this. yes. So, yes. Okay. So for the past week, Oh, is he staying down here? Does he have his bed?
He does.
Okay.
Yeah. He'll be fine.
I'm real concerned if your dog has his bed.
He won't. He'll freak out if he doesn't have a place to sleep.
I went to the dentist and it was an emergency. So yesterday I tell Greg, I said, hey, will you call and make me an appointment? Because, you know, I don't do that.
You don't do phone things.
No. Uh-huh. So Greg called and made me an appointment. And then
do they let Greg just like make your appointments?
Yeah. And I don't know if it's because we're like on each other's stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like we have the same insurance.
That's
and
true.
You're my emergency contact for the dentist. Or no, you're not my emergency contact, Greg is, but you're my you can access my dental information if you need it.
I love it. If there's ever a court case where I need dental records.
Yes, I think. I don't know. I hope that wouldn't be a weird court case. Anyway,
Ted Bundy this.
So I had to fill out new paperwork because they like went digital or whatever.
I put you as my secondary for everything.
Yeah.
So, like Mike is emergency and you are my other emergency.
he said he was going to call, and seriously, 2 seconds later, I got the like, your confirmed appointment for tomorrow, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It was at 8 a.m.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's
why I've been in my, these are my pajamas.
Yeah.
And I've been in them all day.
Yeah. I schedule, my dentist office is pretty cool. They schedule me for like 5 to 5:30, unless I have to get like actual dental work done and not just a cleaning.
Oh, yeah.
They schedule me like way later in the day.
Well, I went in for like kind of an emergency visit because they, I've had like pain down here. Not like bad pain, but dull pain.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out, first he's like, well, you have a big filling, like an old filling that could be cracked. Or you could just be clenching your teeth. And I'm like, great. I'll feel really fucking stupid if I'm coming in just because I'm clenching my teeth.
No kidding.
And
yeah.
Him and his assistant both laughed. And they say it happens like all the time. He's like, we get one a week at least.
Well, because
of people with jaw pain and it's just from clenching.
It's so common. And it's something that you just don't notice that you do until you go to the dentist. And they're like, oh, you grind your teeth at night or you do this at night or... You must be super anxious because you're always like this.
So he checked it out. I do have a crack in my filling. And he said eventually I'll have to get a crown. What's that? What's this?
What is this? Oh, it's the shit that I ordered from Amazon. Dope as fuck. Thank you.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm putting it on my front door.
You ordered that from Amazon and not Etsy? That seems like an Etsy purchase.
I know, but... On Amazon, it was $10.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Side note, anyone that's listening, I'm a huge Lord of the Rings and Hobbit fan. So I just ordered a door sign that says, no admittance except on party business. Super fun.
Wanted to get this sign done. And you know what?
You could have somebody in town, realistically.
No, not that sign.
Oh.
Specifically. I'll get back to my tooth drama in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Because it's so interesting. I want to get one of the signs that says hippies and musicians use side door
to put
next to my front door with like an arrow pointing to the side of the house. However, the only signs I've seen like this have an arrow pointing to the right and I need an arrow pointing to the left. But it just dawned on me, Nim has a cricket and does like amazing cricket magic.
Yeah.
And I could be like, hey, could you make this sign for me if I bought you like a board to put it on or whatever?
Absolutely.
Because I like kind of the old like hippie bubble letters.
She could even just buy all the materials and just charge you when she's done.
Yeah, but I would rather just like provide it.
Provide
so
it.
That she's not the one ordering shit.
Having
or, like,
to
going
do stuff.
To...
Yeah.
Because she does our camp shirts.
Yeah, she does. I remember.
Yeah. And she's made some like super cool designs. But so my tooth.
Fucking dope.
I do have a cracked filling. But it's not all the way through.
Yeah.
So he told me to get one of those, like, bite guards.
I should have just ordered this bitch on Etsy. Oh, well.
He told me to get one of those bite guards from, like, Walmart.
Yeah.
That are, like, $20. And use that for 2 weeks while I'm sleeping. And then after 2 weeks, if I still have jaw pain, then I'm going to have to get a crown.
Okay.
Because he said there's not enough on the top of my tooth for him to take out the old filling and put in a new one.
I gotcha.
He just have to cover the whole thing, which fine, whatever. But what I thought was cool about it, and I've talked about my dentist, I think, before on the podcast, maybe in like one of the last ones.
I think so.
Yes, because we were talking in the last one about the dentist.
Yes.
Trip. Mm-hmm. My dentist is the coolest guy. When I went to a previous dentist and they noticed that I grind my teeth, they're like, oh, we can fit you for a night guard, bite guard, blah, blah, blah.
And it's going to be $1,000.
Well, they're like, your insurance won't pay for it, but it's only way more money than I had or wanted to spend on that.
Isn't that great?
So I'm like, what the fuck? So here's this like cool dentist who's like, hey, just get one of these and try it out.
Just get like a hockey mouth guard or something. It doesn't even have to be.
Well, the ones that they make for like.
For actual dental
for
issues.
Sleeping. Mm-hmm. You boil them and then you take them out of the boiling water, and when they're still like warm, they're pliable,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
you can like put your teeth into them.
Hockey mouth guard.
They do that. That's, those are the same?
Yeah.
I thought they were just like gummy rubber things.
No. So the hockey mouth guards, you can get like the full insert that connects to the mask. It's the same with football and other contact sports, and you boil it in water and then you put it in, and then they like imprint their teeth on it. But you can get ones that just like kind of snap in. And even those, like the flat ones,
okay,
you boil and then you put on and you form around your teeth, kind of like vampire fangs.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, these ones are like almost like a whitening tray.
Yep.
Which that reminds me. I need to start whitening my teeth again.
I know. I was thinking that too.
There's this picture of me and Rachel from Outhouse Races, which were a ton of fun because it was like warm and sunny out.
Yeah.
At Outhouse Races, and we're both like smiling into the sun, and her teeth are like paper white.
Yeah,
they're like snow white. Mm-hmm. And when I looked at us next to each other, I'm like, I mean, my teeth are fine.
Yeah, my teeth are fine too, but I understand what
hers
you're saying.
Are like crazy, crazy white.
Longest fucking intro on the face of the planet, but
whatever. We say that every week. I don't care.
The emulsions from Crest is what my dentist suggested. It's expensive. It's like $100, but it comes with like the gel and everything.
Does it hurt your teeth? Because some of the whitening stuff hurts teeth.
No, you can get some for sensitive teeth.
I got the generic one that's
like
supposed
the strips
to not, no, it's a, like you, it's a tray that you fill up, and then it's got the little light thing that you put in your mouth too. But it's generic from Walgreens or something. And when I use it, I notice there's a difference. But then I need to use it regularly.
I do too. Sorry.
And I need to somehow fix it because I have these teeth up here.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So the tray doesn't cover like
your Patricia Arquette teeth.
Yeah. It doesn't cover my fangs. So someone suggested that I take my tray and I just put a little bit of like hot glue on it.
Yeah.
To, like, bump it up so that I can put some, like, in, I can customize my tray.
That's not a bad idea.
I know. It's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
This podcast is going to be fucked up because it's the one that got deleted. So, I looked for, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay.
I looked for new information, too, because.
I kind of have some information, too. I didn't write it down, but it's in my noggin.
Because part of it is me being like, oh, they were on that show. And then you being like, oh, they won that award. But now we already fucking know. So I feel like we're just going to, it's like a documentary. Okay.
For those of you that like follow our Instagram and Facebook and stuff, we had a very unfortunate incident over the weekend. Where normally, like, we're in our basement and whatever, and we have a monitor and we record. Normally, we upload it immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no anything.
But what happened with that one? Mike had to leave for something.
Mike had to leave for something, so I just hit stop.
Okay.
And then, you know,
things happen.
Busy lives, whatever. Yeah. And so over the weekend, my lovely kittens like to thunderdome around in the basement. And so we're assuming, because Max was laying on the keyboard when Mike found her, just fucking thunderdomed all over the keyboard. He said he had to like recover a ton of files too. He couldn't recover that file though, because the cats had walked behind the TV and shut the internet off on Sunday.
Do you have a stopper in your nose right now, or do you have your nose ring turned up?
I just have a hinged one. It's hinged.
No, the one in the middle. Is there one there?
No. Why? Does it look weird?
You have no ring in the center of your nose right now. There's no jewelry in there.
No. It's just...
Oh, it's tiny.
It's okay. Tiny.
All I could see, because you're in the shadow, kind of, all I could see is, like, a little tiny shine on each side. So I wasn't sure if you just had, like, one of those, like, plastic retainer things.
I have a very tiny
hoop.
But, yeah, so that's what happened with that podcast. So we'll try not to, like, butcher this one. I think it might be a little weird, but it's fine.
Yes.
It's fine.
Okay.
I wanted to do it, though, because we said we were going to do it.
I know.
Okay. Anyway... Hello, everyone. My name's Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, we're going on a roller coaster of love in Final Destination 3. I was going to sing it, but I don't know if I can.
I understand.
Yeah.
You don't have to sing. It's okay.
Yeah. It came out in 2006. It's an hour and a half long, and you can find it on Apple TV and Amazon. Ranging from $2 to $3.99. It's directed by James Wong, and it's written by James Wong, Glenn Morgan, and Jeffrey Reddick. All three of those humans worked on the first one. And I believe Jeffrey Reddick also worked on the second one, but don't quote me on that. All right. It's super awkward having the microphone like right in front. I'm not used to that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
You just put your shit down in front of you like this.
Yeah. Okay.
Hold it up. We need those like little music stands.
Those little music stands.
That'd actually be a good idea.
That's not a bad idea.
Okay.
Okay.
Birthday presents.
Right. Wendy is played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and she was in Black Christmas, Birds of Prey, and 10 Cloverfield Lane.
I just thought I'll get them for our birthdays. Off the dark web.
Off the dark web. Okay. Kevin is played by Ryan Merriman. He was in a ton of Disney stuff. Other than that, not a ton that we would know.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, Wendy's boyfriend, is played by Jesse Moss. He was in Tucker and Dale and The Uninvited. Carrie, who is Wendy's best friend and Kevin's girlfriend, is played by Gina Holden. She was in Saw 3D. Ian, the emo guy, is played by Chris Lemch, and he was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Haven. And Erin, Ian's girlfriend, is played by Alex Johnson. She's a pretty notable singer-songwriter, and I listen to some of her stuff, and it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Ashley is played by Shaylin Simmons. She was also in Tucker and Dale. And this movie actually made her feel a little bit more comfortable doing nude scenes because she had never done them before. Ashlyn, Ashley's best friend, is played by Crystal Lowe. She was also in the 2006 Black Christmas.
Okay.
Which we should do at some point.
Christmas time?
Yeah, Christmas time, like the newer one. Julie, Wendy's sister, is played by Amber Crew. She was in Age of Adeline, which, have you seen that movie?
No, I don't think so.
I really like it. It's a romantical one, though.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I like to watch that type of movie or TV show when Greg is at work because I don't like being scared and home by myself.
That's my favorite time to watch scary movies.
No, I would never sleep again.
Yeah.
Like last night, I didn't watch anything scary. I watched Seinfeld and then I laid in bed for like 2 hours thinking, like, is that a shadow? What if this happened?
What if this happened? Yeah. Amber Crew is also in Haunting in Connecticut. Frankie is played by Sam Easton. He's in Taken and The Butterfly Effect. Lewis is played by Texas Battle, and he was in like 4 years of The Bold and the Beautiful, from like 2008 to 2013. So, yeah.
That was after my soap opera days. Opera days were before that.
Mine too. Honorable mention, Marcus is played by Dustin Milligan, and he is Ted fucking Mullins from Schitt's Creek.
I love him.
Who we actually shared the picture of that on Facebook before we knew that the episode was deleted. So, whoops.
Whoopsie.
Ted Mullins.
Yeah, so let's see. It got a couple nominations. It, unfortunately, it didn't win a whole lot, but it got a Saturn nomination. It was up against The Descent,
which
I think for best horror, I had it in my head, you know, 2 weeks ago when we recorded the first time.
What do you think is a better film between The Descent?
This one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then it was also nominated for Fangoria Chainsaw Award for High Body Count because so many people died.
So many people do die in this one.
Mm-hmm. Slither beat it. And I don't have any desire to ever watch that.
Michael Rooker's in it. It's pretty good.
You saw it?
Of course I did. I think Dad might have watched it because I think it came out before he passed away, but it has Michael Rooker in it and like a couple other like pretty notable actors.
All right. Maybe I'll give it a chance.
Yeah.
This was filmed in Vancouver for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
The amusement park that the opening scene takes place in is Vancouver Playland. In Happy Land, where they play mini golf, was filmed there. Also,
you're gonna die, clown.
Yes, that's Vancouver Playland. Also, Fear with Mark Wahlberg, and we talked about that. Now, see, this is the hard part because we feel like we already talked about
it. We'll just pretend like we didn't talk about any of this.
This was why Mike gets so angry when we try to talk about movies beforehand.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, Fear, the amusement park. Mm-hmm. If you're familiar, there's a very uncomfortable scene in it.
I remember in my youth, like early youth, like middle school.
That came out like late 90s, early 2000s.
I was in middle school when it came out. Because I remember having a phone conversation in the dining room with Lakeisha Phillips about that scene. And she was telling me all about it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That Lakeisha, that fucking figures.
She's a terrible human.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just remember her being a snot and like picking fights with me. I'm like, girl, quit picking fights
all
with
the time. Picking fights with me.
She picked fights with you too.
But I still, that phone conversation, she was just like, you have got to try and see this movie. I'm like 13. I'm like, what?
I just like lost my train of thought. Oh, this came up a few weeks ago. I was reading like most uncomfortable movie scenes.
Absolutely.
Because you think you're going in where like Mark Wahlberg is just this like horrible killer. And, you know, people watched it with their parents and grandparents and friends, families. And
not at all.
Inappropriate. But there's something else I wanted to say about that. Oh, I can't hear that song without thinking about this movie. I don't hear it that often.
Right.
But when I do, I'm like, oh, Fear, the roller coaster scene. Anyway, there was also a couple Fringe episodes, X-Files and Arrow shot in the amusement park. Okay, on to the movie, 45 years later. It'll go quick now.
Yeah.
It's all
downhill.
Yeah. The carnival intro, once again, foreshadows the death.
It's so cool. I liked this intro more than the other ones.
Creepy carnival intro. And then it has posters of, like, different, I don't know, different sideshow type things.
Yeah.
And they all kind of, like, reflect what happens to the people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's a senior trip. They are at a carnival. I'm off my game today. Wendy, main character, is taking photos for the school yearbook.
Yeah, the wonderful side fringe Wendy. Why yes. don't I have bangs that look like that?
Because
anytime I cut them.
One, it's difficult. Two, you should probably have a professional cut them if you want them to look like that. You know, Jo Ellen did my hair once like that. She cut my hair and I had some real nice long bangs.
God, there's something about a good fringe.
Yeah.
My frock.
I would. That's a Jo Ellen job right there. She's cut some good bangs on me before. Yeah. So she's starting to feel weird, very similar to the first two. There's one person that just feels kind of like odd, uncomfortable. She has a yearbook camera. It's a digital camera. And yet it's making like the flash the clicker sound noises. And the clicking noises.
I didn't notice that camera. Until you pointed it out. And now it's just in my head.
I did because I feel like when you were in school or like around the time you would get a camera, you were almost like straight to digital camera. Yeah. I mean, film cameras were still definitely a thing, but like.
Well, yeah, because we had like the Kodak ones, like the.
The disposables.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like.
The wild concept.
I had like a normal film camera up until like probably 2003 or four.
That reminds me, Mike and I were at Target the other day and there was like a girl probably Sienna's age, so like 16, 17, trying to talk her dad into getting a disposable camera. And he was just like, yeah, but then you have to like take it to the store and get it.
That's true.
And get it like processed or whatever. And she was like, but I really want one.
I mean, disposable cameras are fun.
All that shit is coming back.
But like
the youths,
somebody I know, maybe it's Emma. Somebody I know has a Polaroid.
Yeah. Sienna had a Polaroid for a long time.
They're fun. Mm-hmm. Greg and I went out for Valentine's Day probably 5 or 6 years ago now. And I just know from the picture I have no hair. So however long ago that was. And somebody had a Polaroid and they're like, we'll take your picture for Valentine's Day because we got like chatting with somebody.
That's adorable.
Yeah, it's super cute. Aww. I wonder what happened to that. It was in my refrigerator forever. Anyway, the digital camera is making normal film camera noises, which I noticed right away.
Yeah.
Now, they're all waiting to get on this roller coaster. She's freaking out. It's called the devil, demon, whatever, something.
Devil's Flight.
Oh, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, they get on. She's nervous. She doesn't want to be in the front.
I wouldn't go. No amount of peer pressure could ever get me to go on a roller coaster.
Peer pressure doesn't work on me.
It does not work on me either.
All the stupid shit I've done in my life, I've done on my own accord.
I have done by myself.
Or someone will say, hey, do you want to do this? And I'll say, yeah, sure. Or I'll say no. And when I say no, it means I'm not doing that.
Yeah. No amount of money could get me to go on a roller coaster that I didn't want to go on.
Really?
I get really horrendous motion sickness.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about that before. I don't get it from roller coasters. I do get it from riding in the car and spinny stuff makes me sick. And like handheld camera movies.
The kids, the first time we went to Disney in Animal Kingdom, there's a ride called Expedition Everest.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awesome ride because like you go up and you see the Yeti and then you get pulled backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And I rode it once and I was fine. Like I felt a little queasy afterwards, but then we went back with the kids and the kids made me ride it. And I just
So like when you're in disgusting. The car, if you're in the car and you're not doing like side to side driving, like windy driving, you're just doing up and down rolling hills. Does that make you sick too?
No, because we don't have a lot of like that type of driving. I have to sit in the front seat.
Wisconsin, some parts of Wisconsin are like that.
I have to sit in the front seat and probably take Dramamine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it does make you sick then.
I just don't. No roller coasters for me.
I found out we're talking about this. I looked it up on how it works, how stuff works.
How roller coasters work?
Yeah, well, how roller coasters work. But, on how stuff works, you can look up how roller coasters work, and it tells you, like, everything. Because I'm like, I need to know more about this since I was, like, doing this again. So you know how you go over a hill in the car and you get that like feeling in yeah. your stomach? There's a term for that, and it's called airtime. So I'm going to read this from How Stuff Works. It's a couple paragraphs, but it's super interesting.
Okay.
This is how a roller coaster affects your body.
Welcome to Physics 101 with Aaron and Chelsea.
You know what? It's fucking cool. It's more what happens to your body as opposed to like the physics of
okay.
it. Okay. Airtime has a strange effect on your body because your body is not completely solid. It's composed of many parts. When your body is accelerated, each part of your body accelerates individually. The seat pushes on your back, the muscles push back on some of your organs, and those organs push on other organs. That's why you feel the ride with your entire body. Everything inside you is being pushed around. Now, normally, all the parts of your body are pushing against each other because of the constant force of gravity. But in the free fall state of plummeting down a hill, there's hardly any net force acting on you. And in this case, various pieces of your body are not pushing on each other as much. They're essentially weightless, each falling individually inside your body. That's what gives you the unique sinking feeling in your stomach. Your stomach is suddenly very light because there's less force pushing on it. At the same thing happens when you drive down a dip in the road in your car or descend in an elevator moving at high speed. On a roller coaster, the full body sensation is complemented by all sorts of visual cues, the upside down turns, dizzying heights, and passing structures. Cues are an important part of the ride because they tell you you're going fast. Your body can't feel velocity at all. It can only feel a change in velocity, which is acceleration.
So
that's like when
you could I just be blindfolded and not get motion sickness?
Well, maybe, because your body would still feel the like ups and downs, but you wouldn't have the visual effect of it.
I gotcha.
So it might actually make you sicker.
So if I were just one solid mass, I wouldn't get sick. I feel like we need to be high having this conversation.
You're not? No.
Just fuck.
So one more little thing. The only reason you know you're moving quickly on a roller coaster is that the support structure is whipping past you at top speed and the air rushing on your face. Roller coaster designers make sure to create plenty of tight fits and near misses to make you feel like you're rocketing through the structure yeah. out of control
and
speeds.
I hate it. I hate everything about roller coasters. That's why I like 3D stuff. That's
cool, though.
It is cool. I do a lot better on 3D rides, like Flight of Passage in mm-hmm. Pandora in Animal Kingdom, one of my favorite rides. And I don't know why I don't get sick on those, but I don't get sick on 3D rides. Because it's so the
there's
same.
There's some video games that make me sick.
Yeah.
Like, there's something about the movement. I don't know.
We have VR, and playing Spider-Man VR for the first time, I almost threw up.
I would definitely need a bucket.
Yeah. Anyway, that was cool.
That's fun facts about roller coasters. Well, we kind of talked, like, I've always wondered about that.
Yeah.
Like, what that feeling is. Like but it's called like airtime.
Like the free fall drop. Like, when they test... like astronauts and stuff.
Yeah.
Or in that OK Go music video.
I don't know which one it is.
Oh, my God. Sending it to you.
That's the only one I can think of is the treadmill one.
Okay. They got a plane and two professional dancers to play the hostesses and did the free fall dropping and stuff. And they did an entire music video doing it.
I'll send it to you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, anyway, she doesn't want to get on the ride. This is the whole thing. I got to this line in my notes, and then that's what made me go on my roller coaster info spree. So she gets on the roller coaster with one of her friends, one of her guy friends, her mm-hmm. friend's boyfriend, actually. And there's a little drip under of hydraulics.
Yeah.
Which,
you know.
That's okay. So then Frankie has his video camera out, and he's just being like a pervy weirdo.
Because he's not part of the senior class. He graduated a couple years later.
Yes.
But prior to this class.
So he gets on the ride. As the ride starts, everyone's on board with it, mm-hmm. like, and everything else, you know, because you have to see the big, gigantic disaster.
Oh, yeah.
And the first loop that the roller coaster goes through, Frankie drops his video camera onto the track.
Did you read what I sent you?
I had read that.
Okay.
So let's get through the main accident scene, and then we'll talk about that flaw or theory or whatever.
Absolutely.
His video camera drops on the track. Mm-hmm. The coaster goes over it, and the leaking part in the hydraulic system hits the camera and then like explodes. So then when that happens, everyone's like shoulder harnesses loosen up.
It is just my nightmare.
They basically open up. So people have to grab them and hold them down to like stay in.
Like if it was just that and nothing else, there might be a couple fatalities, but I think potentially most of them would live.
I mean,
maybe.
Who knows? Because there's no, like, stopping it.
No.
Yeah. The harness is released, and basically everyone dies a horrible death.
It's pretty awful.
People are, like, flying out and, like, hitting beams and getting cut in half, and other people are falling to their death out of the car. And then the whole thing derails.
Yeah.
Somehow, and just smashes into the ground at the end. So, this is a scene where Wendy wakes up on the ride.
Out of all of the opening scenes, which one do you think is the worst? Or your favorite?
My favorite's the logging truck.
Mine too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I thought about that because I think it's the most realistic for us living in the UP. We see logging trucks every single day.
Every day.
I drive into town, at least one logging truck.
Yeah.
So that's like, and how much do I fly? Once a year, maybe?
Yeah.
Well, how many times am I on a roller coaster? Not in 25 years.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's scarier to me because it's more realistic to me. So, like the first movie. She freaks out, wants to get off. The people running the ride are like, what the fuck? So they let her off. And then, of course, a fight breaks out because people are yelling. Yeah. So more people get kicked off the ride than they actually want to. Her boyfriend, however, Jason, is in the front car with her best friend.
Yeah.
They're in the front car. He wants to get off the ride, but they don't let him off. They just run it.
Which wouldn't happen.
No. I feel like you can get off the ride until the last second.
Yeah.
But he's saying, I want to get off the ride. And they're like, nope, and start it.
Up until the point where they start the ride, you have every right to get off.
Yeah.
And they always have like emergency exits and stuff too. Like in the ride queue and everything. Like,
so people can duck out if they decide. Well, even if it's not like, oh, I decided not to go on it. What if you have to pee super bad and you're waiting in line?
What if you have kids and like one of your kids freaks out.
So Jason and her friend stay on the ride. So this is like, what, a month or two-ish later? It's towards the end of the school year.
Yeah.
It's right before graduation. Wendy goes to school, cleans out her locker.
Mm-hmm.
She runs into Kevin. She's basically super rude with him.
Yeah.
She's kind of like, at this point, it's like the other films, like, oh, she's a weirdo now. Nobody really trusts her. Kevin then informs her that he was looking into it and says that it's happened before. And he tells her about the plane crash.
Yeah.
She doesn't believe him and gets pissed off.
Yeah.
Which, fair. Later that day, Wendy is telling her sister Julie about the guilt that she's been feeling, about like not being able to
survivor's guilt.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not being able to save Jason, not being able to save her friend who was Kevin's girlfriend. Her and Julie kind of talk it out. Julie asks to borrow her camera, and she's like, "Yeah, hang on," and then starts looking at the pictures because she apparently hadn't looked at them. Well, is it that she doesn't make the connection then? She just sees all the pictures and is like.
She does kind of make the connection because previously when she's like leaving the high school, she conveniently runs into like four of the people that survived.
Yeah, the people that survive are all hanging out.
The emo kids are hanging out with the tanning
chicks.
Well,
they're all kind of like in the same like plaza area, courtyard of the school. Yeah.
So the two chicks, Ashley and Ashlyn, ask, like, feel kind of bad, and they're just like, hey, Wendy, do you want to go tanning with us? Like, we're just going to get
They're doing their good deed.
Yeah, they're getting a quick bronze before graduation. Wendy, of course, turns them down because fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah, so when she's looking at the photos, she sees the two girls, and they have they're holding an inflatable palm tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of looks like there's fire at the bottom corner of the photo, like the way it the flash was.
Mm-hmm.
At the tanning salon, the manager's outside on his phone, or on his phone a ton, and the two girls show up, and they're like, hey, we're just going to tan. Like, go take your phone call, whatever.
Yeah.
They go in to tan, which I've never been in a salon set up like this in my life, and I used to tan a lot,
mm-hmm.
where there's the front desk, and then you walk through a door, and there's the two tanning beds, and then there's another door that goes outside.
Right. I thought it was weird.
Where he's out back talking on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I've never even seen two tanning beds in the same room.
I've seen, like, a stand-up one and a lay-down one.
In the same room.
I can't remember which one. I think it might have been, like, Motions in Marquette, like, when they first opened.
Because that, like, cuts down on...
It does, yeah.
But I'm not, I guess if it's like a friend of mine, I don't care, but.
Right. I'm like, not down for tanning with a rando.
Yeah. Somebody's naked over there and I'm like, hey, whatever. I mean.
I don't know.
It's not like a shower though. Like, it's not like a shower in a gym.
No.
Where like, you know, tanning I think is different.
Like anyway. A high school shower room or something or like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're. Just obnoxious. One of the girls sneaks her drink in. The manager ends up like slowly getting locked out. You know he's gonna get locked out. He uses a tube of tanning lotion to keep the door open. And the two girls are like, I don't want anyone walking in while we're back there, so they lock the front door and put a sign on it.
Yeah.
She sneaks her drink in, which leaks onto an electric box.
Mm-hmm.
They also had turned up the heat.
Yeah.
Because they said it was cold in there.
Ugh.
Well, as they're tanning, they're just like listening to music, hanging out, and the lights start to overheat.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both getting warmer than they should, but they don't really like think anything of it. Well, a shelf falls, and the shelf falls and locks them both into the tanning beds.
I have a lot of comments about this, mainly... Because tanning beds, even when they first came out, they had automatic shutoffs, like, on the inside. Like, they have, like, buttons on the inside where you can turn it off. They have the fan thing that can blow up to you.
Well, normally, there's still enough room. If you had to, you could, like, squeeze out the end or the top.
Like, they purposely make tanning beds like that.
But, yeah. And I guess when I was reading about it, I guess I've never noticed this, that there's not typically a shelf over a tanning bed.
Ooh.
Like, I don't know why. Probably because somebody watched this movie and...
and was just like, no, we don't want a Final Destination, these people.
So they get cooked. They basically get burned alive. They would pass out before their skin started peeling off.
Mike gets very irritated with me because anytime we talk about the Final Destination movies, I'm like, tanning bed never would have happened.
Yeah.
Like, before they lit on fire, they would have passed out.
Yes. Anyway.
That's, like, one of my big fears, though, is being stuck in a tanning bed.
Well.
Do you ever see I Still Know What You Did Last Summer?
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Love Hewitt gets
zip-tied
into a tanning bed. Again, no, like, anything to turn off
that
the tanning bed.
That wasn't in a salon, though. That was just somebody's house.
That was somebody's house.
So,
yeah.
I mean, in your own house, you can do whatever the fuck you want, I guess.
Apparently not.
And tanning beds turn off after 20 minutes. You can't just set them to 45 minutes and catch on fire in them.
I would like to feel like I'm walking on the sun.
Not me.
Not me. No.
Not for
not
me.
Not at all.
I don't know why that just reminded me. We should do Event Horizon.
Blech.
Yeah.
Blech.
Yeah.
I still remember the jellyfish scene. Even not including the space orgy scene, but like the jellyfish scene where the guy gets attacked by jellyfish.
Yeah.
That scene sticks out more than the space orgy.
What about Sunshine? I guess Sunshine's technically horror, I think.
I would like to do another horror movie with Cillian Murphy, Red Eye. That would be a good one. That's like psychological.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they get cooked in the tanning bed. At the funeral. Dang it. Hang on.
I know. It's the La Croix.
The La Croix. At the funeral, Wendy calls Kevin and wants to talk by Jason's grave. So they're getting, the two girls are getting buried in a different part of this giant cemetery, and she's mm-hmm. over by herself. Yeah. She shows him the photos and then shows him the photo of Lincoln right before he was assassinated, and then the trade centers.
Yep.
With like the shadow of the plane. Mm-hmm. They figure out that Frankie is next, I think, at this point. So at the grave, she starts to get like faint, and he asks her when the last time she ate anything was, and she doesn't remember.
Yeah.
So they go for food. Mm-hmm. They're in a fast food line, and they get kind of trapped in. A car backs up. So there's a car in front of them in line. There's a car behind them, and then there's a car to the side, so they cannot move. They notice that a beer truck is like out of control.
The pale ale that was in the second one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This beer truck is like going down the hill behind them. They see it in the mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they didn't have as much time as they did with the truck barreling down the hill, yeah. But they had to like draw that out. Okay. So the runaway truck hits them. Now, before it hits them, they manage to, because they can't get out, they're trapped, they kick out the windshield
mm-hmm.
to escape.
Yeah.
They get out just in time while the truck behind them gets hit, plows into their truck, into Kevin's truck.
Yeah.
And the engine...
Do you think that couple lived?
I don't know. Maybe.
In the truck? You know what? They got out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The engine of Kevin's truck goes flying out with the impact, which I don't think could actually happen. I'll have to ask like a mechanic person.
What there needs to be is there needs to be like a Mythbusters type thing for horror movies.
Yes.
Somebody needs to come up with that.
Anyway, so the blade from the engine, the fan, goes into Frankie's head, who's in a convertible parked in front of them.
This was gross.
That was gross.
That was gross.
Yeah, it, like, chopped his head.
Yeah.
Then his photo had been him with, like, a fan in the background.
Like a corner ceiling fan.
Yeah, with just mm-hmm. a ceiling fan. Yes. Then they realize that Lewis is next.
Mm-hmm.
He's downstate or elsewhere. Wherever.
Yeah.
I say downstate because I'm in Michigan, but he was somewhere else at like a wrestling camp.
Yeah.
Football camp.
Football.
Football camp. Because he was going places with his life.
Mm-hmm.
His photo was of weights.
Because he did like the strongman hammer thing. Yeah.
And his photo made it look like there was a weight falling on him.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a sultan in the background, like cartoonish with like the big swords.
Yeah.
He is at a school. Their mascot is the sultans.
Yeah.
At this point, Kevin says he doesn't want to see his picture, which is fair.
It's fair.
Lewis does the typical like naysayer. Like, I'm going places in my life.
Carter.
Huh?
He's a Carter.
Total Carter. even though, like, all the signs are pointing to it, even though, you know, they have this evidence now.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, doesn't care. He's lifting on this machine, and everybody's getting fired up, and he's, like, yelling about everything. Well, there's these two, like, decorative... like sultan swords, mm-hmm. I don't know what they're called, hanging above him.
Yeah.
The swords fall and they cut the lines from the machine that he was using. So when he goes to do another rep, the weights come down and completely squash his head.
Schnicker's head.
Yes. Gone. No more head.
Ugh.
On him.
That's fucking traumatizing. All of those people in that weight room, therapy for life.
Oh, yeah. Like, I can't imagine. That's
go
terrible.
Go to therapy.
So, Ian is next. Yes, Ian's next.
Yes.
Ian is at work and he's shooting pigeons with a nail gun, which was pretty gross.
Yeah, why you gotta be emo like that? Why you gotta do that?
Not every emo person wants to shoot a pigeon with a nail gun.
No. But it was fitting.
He's working close. It's like after hours mm-hmm. at a hardware store.
This is a real hardware store, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron is working in the garden center, his girlfriend. Of course, they, you know, go rushing in, Kevin and Wendy. They try explaining the situation.
Would you believe someone?
I think with proper evidence, if I sat down and, like, looked at the photos yeah. and didn't, like, immediately dismiss it. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a really complicated, like, I think you said mousetrap.
Oh, it's like mousetrap.
Set up for this. Because it's a million little tiny things that, like, lead up to these deaths.
Yeah, the guy... Oh, also, the guy that played Ian, learned how to drive a forklift in, like, a couple days. He took forklift lessons so he could,
it's
like, drive it.
It's really not complicated.
No. No.
Like, once you get the hang of it.
Yeah.
It's not difficult. Yes. Complicated setup. So, first, I guess, so he's helping Aaron stock things.
Yeah.
So, she has her cart of stuff, and then he's in the forklift, and she's driving it up and down. Or he's
driving it up and down, like, putting the stuff
to stock.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, they, like, bump a shelf, and then it turns on another forklift, which doesn't, that's not a thing that's going
to
happen.
It took them, like, 30 tries with the yeah. hammer to come down.
So, a hammer falls onto the forklift, turning the forklift on. So, now it's just, like, coasting through the store, wreaking havoc. There's so many, and then there's, like, Ian is, like, cutting wood, so he's by this big saw.
Yeah.
And there's
you
just, like...
You think it's going to be something, and it's not at all.
Yeah. So, the runaway forklift hits some shelves, all the shit falls, and Ian, they manage to, like, grab him and pull him out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Aaron falls backwards when
Not
as fortunate. Falls back onto the nail gun, and it... goes off and, like, shoots her 20 times through the face.
Just, like, riddles it. And I think that that is pretty gross because she, like, reaches up to the nails and they're all,
yeah.
like, poking out of her face. It's gross.
I think she's dead at that point, though. I don't think she's, like...
I would hope so.
I think
so.
That's, like, a nerve thing.
I hope
I don't
so.
Think that she's aware of anything that's happening to her.
I hope so. It was traumatizing watching
it
that
was
part because I forgot about it, and then I was like, "Oh
so
shit!"
Did I forgot how she died.
Yeah.
So this whole time there was other people on the roller coaster, and she didn't know who they were.
Right. She's been trying to like figure it out.
She's
but
been
can't.
Trying to track them down because she's like, "These people were sitting together. These people were sitting together," so that she can play out the order mm-hmm. of the deaths. Because in her vision, she didn't see how everyone died. She just saw
yeah.
a handful of people. Well, she realizes that it's her sister and
mm-hmm.
her sister's friend.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what friend. She just recognizes the bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
Her sister's charm bracelet. So, Wendy's only... She decides it's time to look at the picture. Her
yeah.
and Kevin. Wendy's clue is just, it's a kind of a black background. She's wearing a t-shirt that says McKinley,
mm-hmm.
which is her high school. It also happens to be Ian's last name.
Yes.
Kevin's looks like an explosion. Like the
mm-hmm.
flash went off in his face and it's really brightly lit.
Yeah.
So it kind of looks like that. Well, now at this point, everyone in town is going to their tricentennial.
I love this.
Mm-hmm.
It would be so much fun.
Yeah, to go to something like this?
Yeah.
Kevin confronts Julie. Kevin's working as a security guard there.
Mm-hmm.
He confronts Julie and she just takes off.
Yeah, she's like fuck no, you're being weird.
Yeah. Somehow the horses get spooked. Oh, they light some dick bag lights up firecracker.
Yeah.
And they're doing like reenactments. So there's like a ton of colonial people dressed up and they have horses and carriages and all that shit.
Mike did that.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. He was at, I can't remember, Fort whatever up here.
Yeah.
And he did it when he was in high school and he had a buzz cut. So he had to tell everybody that he had lice. Because why else?
I mean,
he didn't wear a wig or anything either.
I wouldn't want to wear a wig in the summertime.
He was just like, yeah, I had lice. Like, they had to shave my head.
I mean, that's a solid answer.
He's such a nerd.
I think Shanna worked there too, though.
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. That was like probably the thing to do, though. It was probably like fun.
Yeah.
Like working at a park kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's true.
The horses get spooked. Well, at that point, Wendy figures out the photo because Julie gets pissed when she's leaving them, flips them off, and there's horses in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the photo, there was a carousel behind her with a horse, and she was flipping them off. So she knew that was her time. That was the photo. The horse gets spooked, takes off. It pulls this giant stake out of the ground that has like a billion points on it.
Yeah.
So running through the crowd. The
other people, I feel like, would have died.
Oh, yeah.
Or injured or something.
Injured. Because this horse is going crazy. There's shit. It's dragging this rope. Well, then the rope gets wrapped around Julie's neck and drags her.
Ugh. Now, it would fucking break. Your neck.
Oh,
you would
neck
be dead.
Would be broken, for
you
sure.
You would be dead 100%.
Because she's just holding the rope. I'm like, that's not stopping you from dying from this. At the very last second, Kevin grabs one of the reenactor's swords and cuts the rope.
Mm-hmm.
Right before she gets pulled onto this like spiky farm equipment.
Yeah.
So at that point, it had skipped Julie. Because mm-hmm. then she was out. So they didn't know who her friend was or which friend was on the roller coaster mm-hmm. with her, but a friend walks around the corner and what was it, a flagpole?
It was a flagpole.
Falls and impales her. Then Kevin, one deadly horse kick.
Deadly horse kick.
He gets kicked by the horse and flies like 20 feet onto a grill and is almost like blown up from the grill. Ian is there apparently to kill Wendy. Because that's what everyone's assuming.
Yep.
Because he's blaming her.
Well, and Wendy said, like, they kind of come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
Ian is just like, what, do I kill you? Like.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, at that point, a firework cart is tipping over, and it's fucking anarchy. This
entire scene is just anarchy.
The whole tricentennial is ruined that year.
I can only imagine the headlines.
Yeah.
In this small but large town.
It is. Okay, lots of films do that where they like try to make it like super local, like only 500 people live here, and then they try to make it like urban.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yeah.
So the firework cart tips over, and at this point Ian is kind of losing it, and all the fireworks go shooting at him,
as
but
you
he
would.
Dodges them.
Yeah.
So he's like, huh, fuck this. You know, you're wrong. Kind
Death
of thing.
Can't get me.
Well, then a big sign falls on him and squishes him flat.
Yeah. The McKinley sign falls on him.
All right. Jumps to 5 months later. Like, I need to know more about that. I need to know more about what happened.
This shit is wild.
So 5 months later, Wendy's on the subway because that was her plan. After graduation, she was going to move to the city, tell mm-hmm. everyone to fuck off. Start her life over, not worry about this anymore. She's on the subway. She had obviously left town.
Mm-hmm.
She hears a song and it like kind of like cues her up where she kind of like remembers something.
Yeah.
The song is actually Turn Around, Look at Me by the Letterman. And I looked up the Letterman and they are like some 60s and 70s nice. Love songs. You would recognize a lot of them.
Probably.
Then there's a reflection, and I think it's train 081, but in the reflection,
yes.
it's 180, uh-huh. like the original flight.
It's all connected.
Yes. She wants off the train early. She starts to get freaked out. Well, mm-hmm. as she's trying to get off, a bunch of people that are going to a football game, yeah. some sports game, they're getting on the train, so she can't make room and get off. Which I feel like if I was freaked out enough, I'd be throwing no, some elbows
get the fuck out of
to
my
get
way.
Out of there.
Mm-hmm.
She gets caught up in traffic. Well, then Julie shows up on the train.
Yeah.
Julie was supposed to visit her for the weekend, got in town a little bit early. Somehow they're on the same train.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Okay. They have a chat. Then they see Kevin is also on the yeah. same train. Now, some of the signs, some of the advertisements that are like in the like top corners of it mm-hmm. are like for a tanning salon and for this and that.
Yeah. And two people that were supposed to be in this scene that were not were the two survivors from the last Final Destination.
Oh.
But they were unable to make it due to filming obligations.
Cool information.
Mm-hmm. And they were supposed to be like related. Like Thomas was going to be like Kevin's cousin or something. And they were all... It was all supposed to, like, intertwine.
Come together.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a lot, I think.
That would have been a lot.
A lot to, like, end it with. So then they're on the train, and there's a horrible accident. They collide with another train.
It's pretty brutal.
It
like,
is.
Kevin gets, like, smooshed.
Which, did you hear? There was just a head-on train collision. Not in the United States, I don't want to say, but it was like a passenger train hitting like a cargo train, both of them going top speed head on.
Yeah. Oh my God. Any mm-hmm. survivors?
Yes, I think. I don't.
Well, I'll look into it
my
after.
My phone plays the news every morning.
Hey, I Dad.
Get, yeah. After my alarm goes off, it tells me what the weather is, and then it tells me that it's NPR news.
Yeah.
So look it up on there because. That's what it was. Anyway.
Okay, yeah, I'll look it up.
I think the fact that all this is going on and they're still, like, making eye contact and, like, yelling for each other is a little extreme.
It's very unrealistic. I wouldn't be looking at anybody.
I would be, like, trying to hide under a bench.
Yeah.
And not die.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no offense. Because it's two sisters. I would want you to preserve your life and not.
I would try and preserve
be like,
my life.
Aaron, where are you? As yeah. the train is like falling apart, you know?
You're fucked.
Yeah.
Love you.
Wendy is thrown from the train, so she survives and then is hit by another train.
I feel like there would have been like enough debris or enough warning signs for the train not to.
Not we to- talked about this, but like. That happened. The accident happened so fast
yeah.
that it might not have gotten out to like other
That's
trains
true.
To stop or slow down mm-hmm. or whatever. And then what? The people on the, I guess the people on the other train,
right?
I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
Then it's this is all like imagined because it flashes back to Kevin, and one of them says it's happening again.
Kevin does.
Yeah.
Because Kevin has seen that look before.
Because they're all together on the train, and he's like, fuck. That's the end.
And that's the end. And you hear the train crash.
Yes.
In the credits.
Now, I'm kind of wondering, though, did she have enough time to...
They run to try and stop the train.
Okay.
They do run to pull the...
Because the other train, like, T-bones them. So I feel like...
Yeah.
They could have gotten somewhat yeah. to safety. I don't know.
But then if you were in this situation, wouldn't you avoid, like, you would just turn into clear. Like, you would go into an asylum. Like,
I don't know. Because some people would be like, whatever. I'm gonna...
I die when I die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll
try to avoid
about,
it as long as possible.
Did we talk about Frankie's camera?
No.
And that theory? Or
no.
did we just, like, skip over
we
it?
We skipped over it.
So one of the theories and kind of, like, plot holes is Frankie's camera is what causes the leak that causes the accident. Now, if he got off the train, or off the train, off of the roller coaster, he would have never dropped the camera. There never would have been the accident.
Yeah. But there is still an accident.
But there's still an accident.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I think it just would have happened another way.
I think so, too.
Like, something else, somebody's sunglasses would have fallen on the track, or there would have been, like, something else.
If sunglasses could cause an entire derailment,
wild. I guess it's super hard for a roller coaster to derail.
Yeah.
From my understanding. From how stuff works.
From how stuff works.
But, yeah, I would say the gore on this is 3.
I would say that, too. What one do you think is the goriest out of the 3 that we've done?
Probably this one.
Yeah. Because the engine. The engine. There were a lot of, like, head smushes.
The nails, the head getting smushed, the 2 girls in the tanning bed.
And they do progressively get more gory, because I do remember the 4th one, and it's pretty.
And then what? Because the first one is strangulation in the shower.
Yeah.
I know, can't even remember now.
I know there's, like, an escalator in the 4th one.
Yeah. The teacher, that was probably the goriest one in the first. Why can't I remember any of them? We just did it.
They all just kind of blend together.
Death's, I know.
Death's plan, and they all die.
Yes.
I'm very glad we're not doing one of these for quite a long time.
I'm over it. I want to do something old and funny-ish, or new and not stressful, because I think I said this in the last one, this watching 3 of them in a row, it's just very, like, stresses me out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to believe that death has the design. I want to just be like, well, it happens, nobody's controlling it, so it freaks me out. And I talked about it in the last one, that I had also watched Bandersnatch.
Oh yeah.
About, like, being controlled by a higher power, and I don't want anything to do with that. I don't like that. No.
I don't like it. I am in control of my own life, knock on wood, because I am superstitious.
Yeah. I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
All righty. That was Final Destination 3, round 2.
Yes. Hopefully it doesn't sound fucked up.
I know. I
feel like... We did our best.
We did our best, guys. All right. Anyway, if you like what you hear and want to know what we're going to be doing in the future or whatever, and hopefully one of the cats doesn't delete it, follow us on Instagram. It's /your movie review. All one word, all lowercase. We also have a Facebook page, /your movie review. And if iTunes and Spotify aren't your jam, please listen to us every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on mtrsradio.com.
Very nice.
Thank you.
It's been a while. So
it's been
a
while.
All right. I hope everybody has a good night and a good week. And I hope the cats don't delete this one. The
fucking bitches. Bye.
Bye.
This is awkward. It hasn't been recording.
Fuck you.